Now I see grace. Hallelujah. I stand today. I'm standing in an empty grave. And the stone that you rolled away. When I was practical, you saw sun. When I left you, man, you saw one. And just like that, all my past has been erased. When I look back, I see grace.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I'd like to share with everyone this morning a scripture from Psalms 96, verses 1 through 4. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Share the news of his saving work every single day. Declare God's glory among the nations. Declare his wondrous works among all people. Because the Lord is great and so worthy of praise, he is awesome beyond all other gods. Let us bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, you are an almighty God. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And while we live in a broken world, we know that you are the light of this world. We know that you are here with us. And Lord, we are to be lights in this world as well. We see miracles every day. We ask that you be with each one of us every day to share those miracles amongst others, to share your glory. Help us to be bold. Help us to be humble. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Imagine by now most of y'all realize that Kevin's not with us this morning. Him and Libby were able to break free, and they ran up to catch an O's game up in Baltimore. John is not with us either. And before any of you get really nervous and start walking out, don't worry, I'm not giving the sermon this morning, okay? This morning, we are very happy to welcome Reverend Dr. Rob Arp to bring the message to us. His wife, Bonnie Ray, is also here with us today. Rob and Kevin are colleagues. Rob is the pastoral care manager of Roper Hospital and Roper Hospice. He's an advanced certified palliative chaplain and works mostly in the bone marrow transplant unit. He's served in diverse congregation settings, from the beaches of the Caribbean to a church plant in Newberry, South Carolina, and his last congregation was the Mount Paran Church of God in Atlanta with a membership of 10,000 strong. Bonnie Ray and Kevin worked together at Mount Pleasant Hospital during COVID. There, Bonnie Ray was an ICU nurse. She is now the director of ICU and acute care at Somerville Medical. Would you please join me in welcoming Bonnie Ray and Rob this morning to Grace Point?
It's on now. Thank you. I really don't need one, but anyway. But if you don't know the backdrop of that story, the young man in it is, well, the father is Dick Hoyt, son was Rick. And Rick was born, unfortunately, with his spinal cord around his neck and suffered brain injury and had suffered with cerebral palsy. And the doctors in the early days of his life told Dick and his wife, you know, there's nothing really going on up there. You need to just put him away. And they had been with the boy, they had been doing things with him, and he showed evidence of cognitive ability, profound things. And they said, we're not doing this. There's a lot going on in his mind. And Rick must have been about 12 or 13, and a young man in their community had suffered an injury and was paralyzed. And they were funding a race for him. I think it was a little 10K race. And he told his dad, Rick had to communicate by tapping on a computer because he was quadriplegic, and he typed out, Dad, I want to run that race. And Dick looked at him and said, dude, I'm sorry, you're in a wheelchair. You're not going to run a race. But he said, you can push me. And Dick, in his own words, would say, I was out of shape. In fact, he had heart issues, didn't even know about. But he pushed him in that race, that's 6.2 miles. And after it was over with, Rick typed out, Dad, when you did that to me, I felt like I was running. Well, good heavens, what's the dad going to do after that? And that started the whole thing. They started running races. They started doing marathons. And then Rick had this idea, we're going to run, do the Ironman. This wasn't one of the little 1 mile, 10 miles on the bike, and 50, you know, 10 miles of running. This is a true full Ironman competition that you just witnessed. Swim about 4 miles, put him on that bike. I think it was about 90 miles. And then at the very end, gets off, puts him in the cart, and pushes him 26.2 miles to the finish line. But you saw Rick's face, didn't you, at the end? And I say that again, if a human father could do that, how much more is your Heavenly Father, my Heavenly Father, willing to do for us? So I want to share today a story out of the Old Testament about someone who was crippled. It's a story of a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, a lot of hardship. Many of us in here face it. Those of us who've got some gray in our hair, we've lived long enough. We know life can just serve you up all kinds of things, can't it? But we're all here today to declare the grace of God, aren't we? All here to declare the faithfulness of God. But I just want to share it with you some moments, and I want us to look at this story. It's a very endearing story, and if you have a Bible, we want to look at this story in 2 Samuel 9. You may be familiar with it, but I'll give you just a real quick backdrop of what's going on here. This is a story of one of Jonathan, who was the son of Saul, the king. This is Jonathan's son. And this is a story, I don't really hear this preached on a lot in the Bible, but it's a powerful story about the grace of God and God's faithfulness in our lives. And it's a story of a young man by the name of Mephibosheth. That's a mouthful. Don't name your children Mephibosheth, okay? Especially after, you know, what it means. And the name, we'll look at that in just a few moments. But the backdrop of this, if you know, remember, and I know Kevin's a scholar, he's giving you the story of Old Testament. When King Saul, he was the leader of Israel. He wasn't the one that God wanted, but it was the one the people wanted, and they got what they wanted. And unfortunately, it was not the best fit. And Saul had his days. Sometimes he would glimmer with hope, but he just would make a mess of things anyway. But he'd gotten Israel into war, and the story was Saul and his son, Jonathan, were killed. They were killed in the plains of Jezreel. It was very traumatic. Israel was just in a panic when it happened. And word spread back to Jonathan's household, and there was a lady that took care of Mephibosheth. And they were so worried and afraid for their lives, she began to run with him, and she fell. When she fell, it did something to his legs, and he was crippled. Poor old Mephibosheth was crippled the rest of his life. So this is where we pick up with the story now, a few years later, in 2 Samuel 9. King David asked, is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness? That word there in the Hebrew actually is the word grace. Can I show grace for Jonathan's sake? Now there was a servant in Saul's household named Ziba. They called him to appear before David, and the king said to him, are you Ziba? Yes, your servant, he replied. The king asked, is there no one still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness, God's grace? Ziba answered the king, there is a son of Jonathan. He's crippled in both feet. Where is he? The king asked. Ziba answered, he's in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lo-debar. So King David had him brought from Lo-debar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. And when Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, Mephibosheth, your servant, he replied. Don't be afraid. The reason he was afraid that, you know, when most kings would take over in these days, the ancient kings, they would kill everybody in the former household. They would strike down everyone. So obviously he was afraid for his life. In fact, Saul had many times had tried to kill David. He said, don't be afraid, For I will surely show, there's that word again, grace, kindness, for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table. Mephibosheth bowed down and said, what is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Those people better get busy getting to work. A lot of miles to feed. Good news and bad news. Then Ziba said to the king, your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like, listen to this, one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table, and he was crippled in both feet. Powerful story. I want to just share a couple things with you today out of that. Well, I probably could just have the altar call after watching that video, but I just want to point out a few things about God's grace and how we see God working. It's a direct parallel in our lives from this very passage here in Samuel. First thing I want to share with you is that God's always seeking us. God's always seeking out his people. That's what King David did with wanting to find out, was there anyone left in Jonathan's and Saul's household? He was seeking them, not to harm them, not to destroy them. He wanted to give them the favor. He wanted to give them really what was their birthright. But you know, our Heavenly Father's the same way with us. I'll never forget my days of seminary. And one of the first things my theology professor told us in his class, he said, I just want to let you know something right here. Here's my theology. God's not out to get anybody. And God's not. I hear a lot of people preach. I hear people talk about it. You know, God's out to hit people with the lightning bolt. But aren't you glad God's not out about hitting people with the lightning bolt? God's always seeking us. Isn't that the message of Luke 19? The Son of Man came what? To seek, to save what? That which was lost. And every one of us in here were lost. We're lost in our, not only salvation, but just lost in life, a purpose, our meaning, direction. Where in the world are we going? And that's the beautiful thing about God always seeking us. I can think of the times in my life and when I wasn't really following God. I'm talking about not just BC days. You know what I mean, BC days. I'm talking about being with the Lord, being a minister. I mean, we're all human beings, just lost in life, trying to find meaning and purpose. God didn't give up on me. And I want to say that to you today. God will never give up on you. I think I need to hear amen on. God will never give up on you. And even those people sometimes, you may have some family members too, that just, man, I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know how God's going to, you know, God's got to get a hold of these people. Don't give up on them. There's a song, a beautiful song. Bonnie Ray and I were listening to it coming up this morning, coming up here from Somerville. It's the Laura Daigle song about rescue. Some of you have heard that song, familiar with it. But I wrote the lyrics down. I just want to speak them over us today. You are not hidden. There's never been a moment you were forgotten. You're not hopeless. Though you've been broken, your innocence stolen. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS. I will send out an army to find you. In the middle of the darkest night, it's true. I will rescue you. Amen to that. In the name of Jesus, we receive that, Lord. Another thing I noticed about this passage is that all of us are crippled in some way. You know, I work in the hospital. I see people just mangled sometimes by life, and I can't imagine some of the pain what people go through. But what I also know, just having been in ministry so long, that, you know, a lot of times we come in, if I came in all wrapped up in bandages today, I used to do this one time when I worked with you. If I came in one time and I had a false crutches and not false crutches, but false bandages. They had me all bandaged up, and the kids thought, man, what happened to you, you know? And, of course, I began to take all that off. I said, well, there's nothing physically wrong with me. But I said, you know, a lot of times we have these emotional wounds. We have this emotional pain. We have this hidden stuff in our life, and that's going on in our lives. Amen? But you can't see that because we always put up the good front, especially on Sunday morning. Everybody's fine. Everybody's doing okay. But you know what? Man, life's just, it's difficult at times. It just gets us. I used to have patients that would say, you know, I know the Lord's not going to put more on me than I can bear. And sometimes the way they would say it, I was wondering if you really believe that. You know, I was in a service one time. It was supposed to be testimony night. Y'all, I don't know if they even do that in churches anymore, but tradition I come out of, people are supposed to, you know, we would call it popcorn testimony. It was usually like a Bible study, and people could just stand up and give a testimony. Well, the testimony you think would be about how God had been, the favor of God, and how God had done all these great things in their lives and what God was doing in their life. And I'll never forget, there was a dear lady, she stood up, in my heavens, it wasn't a testimony. I have never heard so much in my life about how the devil was getting her and this and that, and she just went on and on. But here's where the minister made a mistake, and he called her out by name, Sister, we'll just say Sister Lou. You'd just do it all over again, wouldn't you? You just love the Lord, and I won't even repeat what she said. No, I will not. We'll just keep it that way. You know, life gets us, doesn't it? We're all crippled. I want you to see some words here where he was living. It said Mephibosheth lived in Lo-Debar. In Hebrew, that means no word. It actually means scattered barrenness. That's where he lived. You know, and apart from God, that's where we all live, don't we? Without God working in our lives, without God flourishing in our lives. I've been in Lo-Debar in my life. I've made some really stupid mistakes in my life. I am not up here standing like I got it all figured out. Some things that I've done, good heavens. I've been in that Lo-Debar place. And you look at his name, like I mentioned earlier, Mephibosheth. It means humiliation, scattering of shame. I think we go around with that sometimes. I see so many times people beating themselves up for what they've done and living a life just full of regrets. But you know what? Because of the grace of God and the goodness of God, we don't have to go down that road, do we? I mean, there's certain things in life we just cannot change, certain things we're not going to fix, and we just have to stay humble before God and keep moving, keep our head up, and just keep moving forward. But don't kid yourself. We're all crippled. We all are. We really are in some form or fashion. And because of what Adam and Eve, the sin in life, we are never going to be perfect this side of heaven. And we all just need to give each other a break. Amen. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, you know what, I'm going to give you a break. You can do that. And really mean it too. Oh, that's my notes. Did you notice, too, what he said about himself? He said, what would you want with a dead dog like me? I was just trying to think what was going on in this guy's life. He had just beaten himself up so much, didn't even really know who he was. And that happens a lot in life, too. I think many times you and I go around in life where we really don't realize who we are in God, who we are in Christ. We're not a bunch of slaves. We're sons and daughters. Doesn't the Bible... Didn't Jesus even tell his disciples, I'm not calling you slaves. What did he say? I call you friends. Can you imagine that? I remember a time in my life when I was in ministry. I was in seminary. And I was just, I was just confused, you know, and that happens sometimes. And I think it's just part of the growth. You know, you just got to really come down to find out what you really believe and what you've experienced, not just have God in your head, but have God in your heart. But I was struggling, and I was really struggling about prayer and those kind of things. Why do I have to have this deep relationship with God? I mean, God knows everything about me. Why do I have to do all this? And I had one of my professors. He was such a wise man. He sat me down and ministered to me, and he said a lot of things to me, but at the very end of it, he almost had tears in his eyes. And he said, Rob, you know, this whole thing about talking to God and building a relationship with God and communing with God, maybe God just loves the sound of your voice. Folks, that filleted me. And I think it's true. I think God does love the sound of our voice. And I really believe God loves us. And I believe God cares for us. I believe God will, from time to time, discipline us. I do. My spiritual laws are this. God loves me and has a wonderful plan for my life. And that plan is to blow up my plan. And I'm so glad that he has. Last thing I want to leave with you today is this idea about our deepest needs can only be met by the Heavenly Father. What do you think about that? Bonnie Ray recently heard a message at our church that the ministers were talking about marriage and relationships, but so many times people get into relationships and they think that that person is going to meet those deep-seated needs in their life. Oh, my Lord. Lord Jesus, help us. Ain't going to happen, is it? Goodness gracious. It's not going to happen. But so many people think that. So many people, a lot of times, they put so much into another human being. And this is not to lose faith in people. I'm not saying we go around not trusting and caring, but there are deep things. There are certain needs in our life that are only going to be fixed by the Heavenly Father. And that's why He draws us into such close communion with Him and relationship with us. I'm convinced, too. I mean, I come out of a tradition that can be very strict sometimes and very harsh sometimes, even, I would say, judgmental, get into legalism. That's not me. I'm not into that. But I do believe that God doesn't expect us to be perfect. He just wants us to be honest, just be real. And when I look at what happened to Mephibosheth, think of the power of him sitting at the king's table. And our Heavenly Father's called us to sit at that table to do. I don't know if you live your life that way. I want to do that more and more in my life. I mean, this message is more for me than it is for you. I want to really understand, what does it mean to sit at God's table every day of my life? God's called me to sit at that. To sit as a son, to have my confidence in who I am in Him, and have that confidence flow out into the people that I love, the people that I care for, and to have Him transform me and change me by His grace. There was a story that I remember this. I was young. I was a teenager, and it was a famous minister. His daughter was in an automobile accident. Well, actually, it was a motorcycle accident. And she spent nearly 9 months of her life in ICU. They tried to do all they could do to save the leg. It became infected, and it was just every antibiotic known at that time. This was in the 1980s, I think, when this happened. And just, you can imagine what the family went through, having to go through the ordeal with your 17-year-old daughter in the ICU for 7 months. Unfortunately, she lost the leg. And it was a famous minister, Dr. Robert Schuller, pastor of Crystal Cathedral, and this was his daughter, Cindy. And the family was just traumatized. Cindy was an incredible ballet dancer. She was an incredible softball player, athlete. So you can imagine what's going through her life when she loses this key part of her life. Never going to be the same. So he resolved, after the family, she got discharged and they got her fitted, and she began to live a life with the prosthetic. He said, "We're going to go on a cruise. We just got to take some time off." So I got on this cruise. And she noticed during the week, people were noticing her. You'd go to the pool, and she has her leg and all. People were just, I don't think they were being mean, but, you know, people are just nosy. You know, we are. We're just nosy people. I wonder what happened, you know, and all this stuff. And she noticed it and just kind of took it on the chin. But they found out there was a talent show, a huge talent show that was going to be on this cruise. And she told her dad, she says, "You know, I'm going to enter the talent show." He says, "Well, you know, a lot of people are going to be dancing and doing all this stuff. You can't dance anymore. And, you know, and I want you to do it, but what are you going to do?" She says, "I'm going to sing." He said, "Cindy, you're not the most gifted now. You know what you're getting yourself into." "So I'm going to sing." And she says, "I'm that song in the garden. Because Jesus has become so critical now in my life, so important in my life. So it's her time to get on." This is a giant ballroom. People, it's heathen. It's wall-to-wall heathen. They're drinking and doing all their whole thing, you know. And she gets up and she says, "You know, I've noticed a lot of people have looked at me this week." And she told her the story about what happened, the accident and everything, and God's care and God's working in her life. And she says, "I want to sing this song to you because it's a song about my greatest friend." And she says, "My greatest friend is Jesus." It was like somebody rubbed their nails on the chalkboard. You know, everybody's going like, "Ugh." And it just became a holy hush in the place. And she began to sing that song. "He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own and the love we share as we tarry there." It wasn't a dry eye in the house. And at the very end of it, she says, "What I've learned through all this pain, what has happened to me, very traumatic." She says, "I thought really my life was over when it first happened. But," she says, "what I've learned is that it doesn't matter how you walk in life. What matters is who you're walking with. And that's what I want to leave with you today. Continue your walk with the Lord and never, ever, ever, ever underestimate how much God will do for you. If that kind of father could do that for his son, what can God do, and what has God done for us? Amen. Father, let your word continue to grow richly in our lives. I speak your blessing over this church, this congregation, over Pastor Bennett and the whole staff here, God. Let your peace and your goodness, the purpose that you have for this congregation, God, bring it to pass now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I'm just sort of reminded of the psalmist David when he said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord, because this has been so good today. Every Sunday's great here, if you're a first-time visitor. But this was such a nice Sunday, so I thank you, and I'd like to close in prayer. Father God, I just come before you just with so much love and gratitude. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercy and your grace and your forgiveness to every single one of us. Lord, I thank you for your presence in this house today. It was heavy, and I love that about that, and I hope everyone else felt the same thing. Father God, we just want you to help us take this message, absorb it like a sponge, Father, and then let us go out through these doors today and spread this word. Use kindness and faith and gratefulness. Use grace the way it's supposed to be used. And Lord, we just want to tell you right now that we love you, and we just hope and pray that we all have a good week. In Jesus' precious name, amen.